ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. ஜிஜ்ஞாசாதிகரணம் அதாதோ ப்ரஹ்ம ஜிஜ்ஞாசா. ஜன்மாத்யதிகரணம் ஜன்மாத்யஸ்யயதஹ. சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாதிகரணம் சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாத். சமன்வயாதிகரணம் தத்து சமன்வயாத். சாப்டர் 1 3rd பாதா. துவாததிகரணம் துவாத்யாயதனம் ஸ்வசப்தாத் முக்தோபஸ்ருப்ய பிரதேசாத் ந அனுமானம் அதச்சப்தாத் பிராணபிருச்சம் பேதவ்யபதேசாத் பிரகரணாத் ஸ்தித்யதனாப்யாஞ்ச. பூமாதிகரணம் பூமா சம்ப்ரசாதாத் அத்யுபதேசாத் தர்மோபபத்தேஷ்ச. அக்ஷராதிகரணம் அக்ஷரமம்பராந்த த்ருதேஹ சாச்ச பிரசாசனாத் அன்யபாவ வ்யாவ்ருத்தேஷ்ச. ஈக்ஷதி கர்ம விபதேசாதிகரணம் ஈக்ஷதி கர்ம விபதேசாத் சஹா. தஹராதிகரணம் தஹர உத்தரேப்யஹ கதி சப்தாப்யாம் ததா ஹி த்ரஷ்டம் லிங்கஞ்ச. த்ருதேஷ்ச மஹிம்னஹ அஸ்ய அஸ்மின் உபலப்தேஹ பிரசித்தேஷ்ச. இதர பராமர்ஷாத் ஸ இதி சேத் நா சம்பவதி. உத்தரா சேத் ஆவிர்பூதஸ்வரூபஸ்து அந்யார்த்தஸ்ய பராமர்ஷஃ அல்பஶ்ருதேரிதி சேத் ததுக்தம். அனுக்ருத்யதிகரணம் அனுக்ருதேஸ்தஸ்ய ச அபி ச ஸ்மர்யதே. பிரமிதாதிகரணம் ஶப்தாதேவ பிரமிதஃ ஹ்ருத்யபேக்ஷயா து மனுஷ்யாதிகாரத்வாத். தேவதாதிகரணம் தத் உபர்யபி பாதராயணஃ சம்பவாத். விரோத கர்மணீதி சேத் அநேக ப்ரதிபத்தேஹே தர்ஷனாத். ஷப்த இதி சேத் ந அத ப்ரபவாத் ப்ரத்யக்ஷ அனுமானாப்யாம். வி ஆர் சீயிங் தி 28th சூத்ர ஆஃப் தி 3rd பாதா ஃபர்ஸ்ட் சாப்டர் which is the 91st Brahma Sutra. Shabda iti chete na ataha prabhavate pratyaksha anumanabhyam. Here Vyasacharya established Veda Pramanya. Nityasya Veda Shabdasya Nityena Arthena Veda Sambandaha. We saw this in the last class. Just as Veda Shabda and Veda Artha are Nitya, Devata Jati is universal, is Nitya, and Devata Vyakti is Anitya. The Veda Shabda and Veda Artha are Nitya as Parvati Parameshwara. That is how the commentators write. So that Shariram may be perishable for the Devatas, that does not matter. And therefore Devatas have Adhikara to study Vedas. And we completed the general analysis and the word analysis of this sutra in the last class. And we also saw some objections by Purvapakshi and the answers from Shankaracharya. Now, as I mentioned in the last class, Shankaracharya enters into another discussion. And I mentioned this an aside topic, which we will see today. When we say the world is created out of Shabda, what do we mean by the word Shabda? Shabda means word in English, and it is not the sound. So from the word Indra, Indra is created. From the word Bhumi, Bhumi is created. Now what is the word we want to know? Word has got two concepts which Shankaracharya analyzes here. And what is the normal definition of a word? Akshara samudhayaha shabdaha or varna samudhayaha shabdaha. It is a group of alphabets, aksharas, arranged in a particular order. It is called akshara because it starts with a akara and ends with kshakara, akshara, akshara mala. It contains syllables or letters, and it is a group, and it has a particular order, and that unitary word itself is a collection of letters. And it produces a unitary meaning for the object. For example, if you take an elephant. So this is our concept of shabda. And the particular Purvapakshi, who is a grammarian, he has got a philosophy, Vyakarana Darshanam, and according to them, this conclusion is not correct. And they refute our theory and introduce a new theory. This is called Spotavadaha. It is an important concept in our grammatical tradition, our Sanskrit grammatical tradition of Vyakarana, relating to the problem of speech production, how speech is produced, how the mind orders linguistic units into coherent discourse and meaning. So by Shabda Spota, Bhartrahiri, he refers to that inner unity of Shabda, that the word or sentence which conveys the meaning, the Artha. So inner unity of Shabda which conveys an Artha. And they also give a reason for this Spotavada. And they say, our theory is not sufficient to explain the phenomenon of verbal communication. According to them, a word as a unitary entity can never exist at any time. These are all bombshells to us. A word as a unitary entity can never exist at any time. It is so because you utter the letters one by one. That means at any time, there is only one letter. A group of letter never exists at a particular time. So varna samudaya nama nasti eva. So varna samudaya, the group of letters that nama nasti eva, it is not there. A single letter cannot become a word and group of letters does not exist. How can a group of letters form a uniform symbol and become unitary object? Just as sound is not unitary and it is a flow of thoughts, thoughts are vrittis. So vrittis are a continuous flow. It never exists at any given time. It's a continuous flow. We saw a similar theory earlier. And can you say the letters form samskara, which is unitary? He says you can never talk of samskara to produce a meaning because samskara vasanas are invisible. And invisible vasanas cannot communicate. Therefore, that also will not work. So can you say samskaras produce memories? Can memories produce unitary word? He says it is all not possible. Who Purvapakshi? Samskaras can get converted into memory in chronological order only. It cannot be simultaneous. It can be one at a time. It is also in continuous flow, one following other. And thus, a group of memory vritti thoughts is not possible. Therefore, varna samudaya is not possible. So we have spotavadaha. So that is their argument, spotavadaha. It means when words are uttered in a particular order, when the last letter is uttered in the mind, something happens. According to them, when words are uttered in a particular order and when the last letter is uttered in the mind, something happens. Something is produced in the mind as a unitary entity. So by the letters uttered in a particular order, when the last letter is uttered and concluded, these letters invoke a symbol or a new entity called Spotaha. So the letters, when they are uttered in a particular order, and when the last letter is uttered, it's important, and concluded, so these letters invoke a symbol or a new entity called Spotaha, according to them. So that unitary entity, which is invoked, which is activated, which is manifested, when certain letters are uttered in a particular order, and this potaha is eternal, and it is one unit, and it is not produced by letters but invoked by the letters. That one unit produces or reveals the meaning. So varna samudaya, the group of letters, varna samudaya does not reveal the meaning, but varna abhivyakta spotaha artham bodayati, it tells the meaning. So this pota alone is called shabdaha according to them. This is their argument, which we are going to analyze briefly now. So according to Purvapakshi, letters lead to spotaha, and spotaha leads to communication. Letters cannot understand the shabda, and shabda should be understood as spotaha, spota pramana. So when I say veda shabdaha, it means veda shabda spotaha. Letters can never be eternal. Letters flow continuously. So what is the first defect? It cannot communicate. And the second is Veda cannot be eternal. So these are all their arguments. Since letters and words are ephemeral, Vedas are also ephemeral. This is Purvapakshi. Purvapakshi is grammarian Purvapakshi, who is the Spotavada. Now we have to refute the Spotavada. The first argument he gives is, Purvapakshi says that letters do not exist as a group at any given time. Since they do not exist as one group, it cannot give the unitary meaning. But it has to reveal one unitary object. And we have to create a unitary symbol called spotaha. Now tell me what reveals or manifests the unitary spotaha. He has to say that letters manifest the unitary spotaha, and the unitary spotaha symbol reveals the unitary artha. So if you say letters reveal unitary spotaha, which letter or group of letters reveal which spotaha? How will you find out? The first letter, the second letter, the third letter, or the last letter? You cannot say first letter reveals the unitary spotaha. For example, if you take an elephant, to reveal an elephant, the first letter is E. E can stand for any number of words. E cannot reveal elephant. Okay, can you say the next letter L, elephant in Lee or whatever it is, can that reveal? That also cannot indicate, because it can in any unitary object, because it could be the word element, or it could be elephant, it could be any of them. Therefore, which particular letter will reveal the spotaha? You cannot say part of the elephant also. That is also not possible, because partial spota cannot be seen. And it may be in the mind of the speaker, but it is not in the mind of the hearer, because it is incomplete. So partial spota cannot reveal, because the total spota is not known. So total spota cannot be known, because partial spota alone is revealed, with many options being there which are not identifiable. Therefore, if the varna samudaya, group of letters, does not exist to reveal a unitary meaning, that means varna samudaya does not exist for the existence of spota also. For both the same thing. Further, the Purvapakshi gives the answer no. He says, letters have got mysterious powers, he says. Even though one letter cannot communicate, the total spota, as even it is uttered, the total spota can gradually manifest. And when the final letter is uttered, the full or unitary spota can take place. The unitary spota reveals the meaning. And then we argue, if you suppose the letters have mysterious powers and invoke mysterious spota, then you have to assume the letters have mysterious powers and that invokes mysterious spota, and thus you presume two things in this process. Letters have mysterious powers, that is one, and the letters manifest mysterious spotas also. You assume two mysterious spotas which will reveal the meaning. Why do you introduce a mysterious spota at all, and then you introduce mysterious power to reveal the meaning? There is no need at all. But we introduce only one mysterious letter, the letter power. So why do you complicate the interpretation by bringing the mysterious power of letters and the mysterious power of spota? So formed by the letters. And why don't you accept the simpler interpretation of accepting the mysterious power of letters that reveal the meaning? So letters have to be uttered to invoke the unitary spotaha. Should the speaker know all the letters? He should know the last letter or the last syllable and the order in which the letters are to be uttered. All the syllables from beginning to end in a particular order should be there to invoke the spota in the mind of the speaker. Now tell me, Varna Samudaya exists in the mind of the speaker or not? The group of letters Varna Samudaya, does it exist in the mind of the speaker or not when he utters a word to communicate something? Therefore, Varna Samudaya exists as a unitary group in the mind of the speaker, and therefore you cannot refute Varna Samudaya. And the third argument is, when the speaker utters the letters to invoke the symbol in the mind of the listener, and the spota is invoked, and does the listener tells he listened? Does he say the spota or Varna Samudaya or the word? What he listened? The spota or the Varna Samudaya or the word itself? The listener also tells the word elephant. And he does not talk of any spotaha at all. When you say elephant, he says elephant. What is invoked is not unitary spota. What occurs is series of syllables in the speaker's mind and also in the listener's mind. That is the unitary meaning. And the fourth and the final argument Acharya gives is, he emphasizes this argument in his bhashya, is spotavadi arguments is based on one assumption. When you hear the word, we are not hearing the whole word simultaneously, but in parts. These are all, you know, time frame is also subtle. We cannot even imagine. Therefore, we listen part by part when the word is uttered. How can one unit word exist? The basic question is, has the mind has the capacity, ability to synthesize the parts of the words, and can the mind listen to the parts and join all of them and take it as one word? Can the mind be able to do it? This is the question. If the mind does not have the capacity, you have to form a spota. And we have to assume the capacity to synthesize the parts of the words and understand the whole. That is why instead of saying, I listened, the mind is capable of saying, I heard one word. Many syllables I heard, but I say, I heard one word. I heard many syllables, but I say, I heard one word. Also, when the words are heard and patched them, and ultimately the mind says, I heard one sentence, again, mind has the capacity to patch all sentences and say, one paragraph I listened, and add all paras together and say, I read one book, heard one book, listened to one book. Therefore, you need not invent any spota at all to communicate. And he also adds, if you don't accept the synthesizing capacity of the mind, you have more problem making the parts and join together and make it into one fold. For example, if you do not accept this and invent a spota, then you may invent a spota to synthesize the word in the field of shabda. Okay. But what will you do in the field of rupani or perception? Rupas. For words, okay. What about the field of shabda? What about rupas? In the field of perception also, we have the total vision where the mind does not see everything simultaneously. How do you develop unitary perception of, for example, our Sharadamba temple? The mind is capable of synthesizing many parts and combine all of them to make it one unitary concept of Sharadamba temple. So also, if you consider a big army, the forest, long queues in lines, all that thing, eyes perceive one at a time, but mind synthesizes the unit and make a unitary entity. So also in the case of sound and darshanam also, If you want to invent a theory for Shabda Prapancha, and also invent a theory for Rupa Prapancha, for everything you have to invent a theory like this Potavada. Have one theory for all total perception. That is the best thing to do. So one theory is not based on the mysterious power, the spota or anything, but it is mysterious power of the intellect. Intellect has the mysterious capacity to unite all the letters and form one word. And that word alone is called Shabda and not spota. Now we have to answer the second objection. What is that? Words have varna samudaya inside the mind. Group of letters. Words have, they are group of letters, varna samudaya, inside the mind. And the second objection is, if the letters form the words and the words form Vedas, and letter being anityam and words being anityam, Veda also will be anityam. Since varnas have got utpatti and nasha, utpatti means creation and destruction, varnas means letters, formation and destruction, they are anitya only evidently. So Veda will be anityam and pramanyam will go away. So let us not go that route at all. The answer given is, letters are nityam, and who said it is anityam? In your theory, spota is nitya. He goes to the extent of even saying that this is like Brahman. Now in your own philosophy, you say spota is nitya, and you say when letters are addressed, even though spota is nitya, you invoke the letters in the mind when one utters the letters. In the same way, varna is nitya, and nitya varnas are manifest, and they are not produced. So nitya varnas are manifested. Therefore, varnaha nityaha, and varna samudaya is nitya, and Veda is nityam, and the proof for varna nityatvam is what? Purnapakshi has said, you know, varnas comes and goes. That's what Purnapakshi says. All the letters, they come and go. If it is nitya, it should not come and go. How do you prove the nityatvam? To prove this, Shankaracharya gives an argument. The continuity of an object is proved by recollection of an object. The recollection is called pratyavigya. We have seen this word earlier also in some other discussion. It is pramanam for continuity for anything. So now let us see what is recollection. We'll talk about three phenomena here. Suppose I see a particular object, let us say this computer or whatever it is, for the first time, then it is called perception. After some time, when this computer is not there and the remembrance is there, the second type of phenomena happens, and that is called smriti. First is perception, second is smriti. And the cloth or the computer, whatever it is, that thought is still there, but the object is not there later, let us say. Computer is not there. Now there is a third phenomenon, that is when you see the computer for the second time, is it not the computer that you saw before? That computer is this computer. That person is this person. That is this. And will this come under pratyaksham or smriti? Is the question. I hope you are with me. The first, when you see something, you call it perception. And after some time, when the same thing is not there, but the remembrance is there, then the second type of phenomena is called the smriti, the thought that is there, but the object is not. Now, there is a third phenomenon, that is when you see the computer or any object for the second time, it is not the object that you saw before. Because that object that you got before is gone. At that instance is gone. Now it's this computer. So that object is this object. That computer is this computer, which I'm seeing now. So that person which I saw earlier is this person which I'm seeing now. So that is this. And will this come under pratyaksham or smriti? Pratyaksham is first perception. Smriti is the remembrance. Will it come under pratyaksham or smriti? So I am cannot come. Saha, I am, cannot come. Saha will not come in pratyaksha. Can you say it is in memory? In memory, the object is in the mind and it is not in the front, because in front the computer is there. So this means the object is in front, it is not memory. Therefore, soyam is neither pratyaksham nor smriti. If you see a person, let us say after some time, the soyam, oh, the same person is this. In perception, that won't be there. This will be there. In perception, that won't be, that computer won't be there. This computer that you see now only is there. In memory, this won't be there. That alone will be there, because what you see now is not in memory. What you saw earlier is what you are recollecting. So that alone is there. So here, that perception is in this computer, this object. This is other than perception and memory, and it is called recognition. In English, we call it recognition. Recognition means re, and cognition means you connect the past cognition. Recognition means you connect the past cognition. What does it reveal? When I recognize this computer, I connect this computer with the past time and connect the computer with the present time, and the recognition connects the object with present and past. And if it is a new computer, you cannot recognize the computer. If you connect the object with the past and present, you continue the object with the past and present. For example, you saw a friend after 30 years, let us say, very common. And now you see him after 30 years. You have recognized him now. That means what? The friend existed 30 years ago. And he exists now also. Reveals he existed all the 30 years in between. So during the period when I had not seen him, all the changes I did not experience. So many changes he lost, maybe all hairs have gone, all those things, all those I have not experienced. So 30 years before, cognition helped me to stop, spot him now. 30 years after, recognition helped me to identify him after recognition. This implies that during the 30 years, and I come to know that he continued to exist all the 30 years, so recognition proves continuity. Now, Shankaracharya, I want to say, words and letters are recognized every time when they are uttered. The recognition of letters proves continuity. Recognition is a pramana for continuous existence of recognized object or anything. So Shankaracharya says, words and letters are eternal. All these things are all essentially to show words and letters are eternal. When it is uttered second time, we say, I heard the same before. You recognize it when you hear it second time. I recognize the word. When I repeat the sentence again, you don't cognize as new sentence, but you recognize it as the same word, same sentence. And you know that the word existed before and it exists now. And during the period it existed in invisible form. I don't produce new letter every time. It eternally exists. I don't produce the letter when I utter the letter A. When I utter it again, I don't say new letter or new word is uttered, but I only recognize the letter again. So nitya letters are manifested by vak indriyam, the sense organ of speech. So that is why the alphabetical letters are called aksharam. They are nityam. No akshara for them. Shabda is the property of akasha, space, in unmanifest form. They are not produced. Aksharam, nityam. Shabda, nityaha. Shabdaha, nityaha. And therefore, Veda also nityaha. Now, Purvapakshi says, I cannot accept all these things. The letter is born. Letter, for example, if you take a letter akara, a. The letter akara, a is born when one opens the mouth, and it is not there when he closes the mouth. So the letter akara is heard differently also at different times, because when I chant it in low shruti, the a has different sound, the tone changes, and the letter a uttered at different times by different people, then that also at the same time also they also differ. So how can you say there is one nitya akara or any ikara, whatever? Shankaracharya says the letter akara or ikara has two aspects. One is all this a, u and all that things, the vowels, the letter part is there for all of them. The letter part is there. And the second is the pitch, are called dhvani. So there is a letter part and a dhvani part for each letter. So every letter has got aksharamsha and dhvani amsha. And it varies from time to time and person to person, the dhvani amsha. Changes in dhvani do not mean change in letters. For manifestation of letters, dhvani or pitch is required. And when the frequency varies, it appears as though letters vary. Dhvanis are many, but akshara is one and non-varying. One letter is made many on the basis of dhvani. So only one letter made many on the basis of dhvani. Dhvanis may be many, but akshara is only one. So swara bedas, different in the swara, are dhvani bedas. So our conclusion is what? Aksharam is nityam. Mouth does not produce a letter. Mouth only manifests a letter. Plurality belongs to the dhvani alone. So spotavada is not at all required to establish the eternity of the Vedas. So meaning of the words is varna samudayaha eva shabdaha natu spotaha. So the spotavada is not at all required. So with this, the sutra 28 is over. As I told you, this is only an aside point that Acharya gives, and because he has given, I just only wanted to connect it. But what this says in our regular curriculum relevance is just only academic. Now we will go to the next sutra, sutra number 29. Devatadhikaranam only. Atayeva cha nityatvam. 29th sutra, third part of first chapter, 92nd running Brahma Sutra. So this sutra is almost an extension of the previous sutra, sutra 28. So the eternal nature of Vedic words is also established from the same reason deduced in sutra 28 that we just saw. Because those words signify permanent types, eternal. And there it was pointed out that the world was born out of Shabda. So the world was born out of Shabda. Therefore, it's where the Pramanyam was established that we already saw. So human being did not invent Veda Shabda. Human being did not invent Veda Shabda. Veda Shabda existed even before world existed. Vyasacharya comes to another conclusion. Since Veda existed before creation, we can say Veda is eternal. The validity of Veda was established in the previous sutra, and here the eternal nature of Veda is established. That is why in the sutra there is a cha. Ata eva cha nityam. Ata eva cha, that cha that is added essentially for this reason. Veda nityatvam has to be said, because Veda Pramanyam required Veda Nityatvam. This is the general analysis of this sutra. Simple sutra. Now we go to word analysis. Ata eva cha nityatvam is the sutra. Now let us supply the word shabdasya. So now if you reread it, it will be ata eva shabdasya nityatvam cha. Ata eva shabdasya nityatvam cha. Ata eva means what? Because of the same reason alone. Atha prabhavaha eva. Since the word is born out of Veda Shabda, for the same reason alone, and if we rearrange it, since Veda Shabda existed even before the creation of all these letters, creation itself, so creation of the individual, and here we have to understand, when we talk about creation, we already went through this discussion earlier, creation of the individual Vyashti or creation of universal Jati. In the last class, I mentioned about the Vyashti and Jati, universal and individual. Universal also is eternal. Before the creation of the world means what? The creation, when you take a part, example part, creation of a part means, does he, the potter, does he create the individual part or universal part? Part concept, partness. We told about manness in the last class. So part universal is already there in the mind of the potter. Jati is already there. For universal, we already said that, use the term jati. So jati is already there in the mind of the potter, because the Veda Shabda, even before creation of the whole world existed. Nityatvam Shabdasya. Eternity of Shabda means Veda Shabda. Shabda here means Veda Shabda. So because the topic is Vedas. And Cha means also. So the eternity of Veda Shabda also Bhavati. Why also? Why the Cha is there? This is another reason. Already a reason was given in the previous sutra where the validity of the Vedas was established. So here this is another reason. So the broad vision of this is what? Vaidika Shabdas, Veda Shabdas, and Vaidika Arthas, Veda Arthas are eternal. And the positions, the pose of Varuna, Indra, all of them, they are all eternal. All those positions, statuses, Varuna status, Indra status, Agni status, Vayu status, all those statuses are all eternal. And Varuna and all those statuses are not created even by God. Then it has been existing in Bhagavan all the time along. So during Srishti, Lord did not invent Indra Shabda. Unmanifest Indra Shabda is brought into manifestation only. Brahmaji does not create Indra Jati. And Brahmaji created only Indra Vyakti, individual Indras. He only created individual Indras, but Indra Jati, the class of Indras, he did not create. That existed all the time. In Pralaya Kala, it exists. Together as a part of what? As a part of Maya in dormant form, which includes all Shabdas and all Arthas in potential form. At the time of Pralayam, all the Shabdas and all the Arthas, they all exist in potential form, dormant form. That is why we quoted in Shastra Yoni Adhikaranam, Shastra Yoni Path, that Adhikaranam, we quoted all this. Vedas, scriptures, all those things naturally existed in Bhagavan, Shastra Yonihi. As the very breathing is natural to human beings, they also existed in Bhagavan. Hence, Indra, Varuna, all those, Agni, all those gods, they have body and they also have the condition for Vedanta Vichara and they have Adhikara for doing Vedantic study. Actually, this is Devata Adhikaranam. We should not forget that. So the topic is Devatas have body, they have Adhikara to learn Veda, and they also have got the ability to gain moksha through Jnana. So this sutra is almost an extension of the previous sutra. Now let us go to the next sutra of Devata Adhikaranam. Sutra number 30. Samana Nama Rupatvacha Avrittav api avirodaha darshana smrite cha. Samana nama rupatvacha avrittav api avirodaha darshana smrite cha. 30th sutra of third pada first chapter and the 93rd running Brahma Sutra. So in these sutras, Vyasacharya establishes that there is no problem regarding the validity of the Vedas by accepting the embodiment of Devatas. So if Vedas say that devatas are bodies, one doesn't have to question the validity of Vedas. For this, Vyasacharya is establishing the Veda Pramanyam, Veda Shabda Nityatva, Veda Artha Nityatva, and Veda Artha Shabda Sambandha Nityatva, all three. We saw in the last class, Shabda, Artha, and Shabda Artha Sambandha, all three. So the Nityatvam of all the three, Vyasacharya is establishing. And here, Veda, Shabda, Artha, Nityatvam, the objects of the world are eternal. That is established. Veda, Shabda, Artha, Nityatvam. An argument in favor of Sutra 29 is given in this sutra. In the previous sutra, the argument in favor of that sutra is given in this sutra. Let us first do the general analysis of this sutra. And what did we say? Veda Pramanam required some conditions in the earlier sutras. And based on this, we say Laukika Shabdas do not come under Pramana Shabdaha. Veda Shabda is Pramanam, whereas Laukika Shabda is not. But by compromise, we call it Laukika Shabda Pramana. Even though we are saying that, it is only a compromise. Only Veda Shabdas only have Nityatvam Pramana. So Nityasya Shabdasya, the Shabda is eternal and Artha, the meaning of the word, is also eternal. Object also should be eternal. Artha refers to the object also should be eternal. And Vyasacharya has established the eternity of Shabda in the previous sutra as we saw. But he has not established the eternity of the Artha, the objects. The objects signified by those Shabdas. So even though Vyasacharya has not established, Shankaracharya does it in his Bhashyam by the theory of Jati Shakti Vadaha. This is the theory Acharya now he uses it, and it is Jati Shakti Vadaha, which is not individual, but it is universal. Jati Shakti, the power of Jati. The word, for example, man, when you take a word man, the word man does not indicate a particular man, but it shows the man, the jati, the manness of the universe. When you say a man, the man, the word man doesn't indicate a particular man, but it shows the man, the jati, the species, the manness. So also, for example, a pot. A word reveals the universal alone and not the individual. By this theory, Shankaracharya has established Nityatvam of the object. Here Vyasacharya establishes Artha Nityatvam through Jati Shakti Vada. So the discussion, the argument is called Jati Shakti Vada. And Vyasacharya says, even though individuals are destroyed during pralayam, everybody is gone, the universal that continues to exist. During pralayam, all individuals might be resolved, they are destroyed. But the universal Indra Veshti Indra is destroyed. But Indra Shabda, the universal, exists. Therefore, the words are meaningful, they are valid, and they are purposeful also. I need not destroy the word pot because one pot is destroyed. Even if pot is destroyed in one generation, there is the next generation of pots. So also the devatas. If devatas are destroyed in one generation, devatas exist in potential form, unmanifest form. Now the Purvapakshi may ask, when all individuals are destroyed, look how he thinks. When all individuals are, all vyaktis are all destroyed, how universal can exist? Because all individuals put together only make the universal. It is because universal exists on the basis of the individuals only. So universal manness, let us say. Universal manness is defined as what? The Nityam, Ekam, Anekatmakam, Samanyam, eternal one. Inherent in every individual. In pralayam, what happens? All individuals perish. And without individuals, how can there be universal? So if universal also is perished on pralayam, artha nityatvam is not there anymore. And if so, Veda Pramanya will not be there also. So how can there be universal in the case of destruction of all individuals? This is the question of Purvapaksha. For that we say, individuals are there at the time of pralaya in dormant or unmanifest or in potent form. It is from this the next creation emerges. Next group of individuals are created. Every creation continues and it resembles the next creation because of avyakta rupa. Our sushupti avastha confirms the continuity of universe, our sleep. The individuals may perish at the time of sleep. World may resolve. But at the time of pralayam, world resolves and vyakti nasaha, we accept. All individuals are destroyed, vyakti nasaha. At the time of pralayam. But what we say is, in the next creation, the individual comes and individuals may be different, but the individual will belong to the same jati, same class, same universal. Indra vyakti is perishable. Manushya jati is imperishable. Indra vyakti can be perishable, is perishable. But Manushya Jati, Manushya Vyakti also is perishable. Manushya Jati is imperishable. Manushya Jati will be there in every Srishti, but not Manushya individual. Vedic words do not belong to the individual, but Vedic words belongs to the universal, which is unperishable. So in every Srishti, the universals are the same, but not the individual's Vyakti. So with our limited human intellect, we cannot remember the previous Srishti and cross-check what happened in the previous Srishti. Therefore, to prove Nityatvam of individual, we believe in Shastra Pramanam only. For the Shankaracharya gives Shruti, Smriti, Yukti and Anubhava Pramanas. All these Pramanas Acharya gives for this. Acharya points out Shastra-based logical support and experiential support. First, let us see a Shruti support from Rigveda and also the Mahanarayana Upanishad. Surya Chandramasau Dhata Yata Purvam Akalpayat Divancha Prithivinchanta Rikshamato Suvaha. Surya Chandramasau Dhata yata purvam akalpayate. The sun and the moon, Surya and Chandra, Dhata, the creator, akalpayate, created. How? Yata purvam, as the sun and moon were there in the previous Srishti. Yata purvam, very important. Sun and moon may differ individually, but in general, the Namarupa remained. With the Jati. And that is what is referred by Vyasa as Samana Nama Rupam in the Sutra. The Nama Rupas belong to the same universals or same class, species, Jati. This Jati don't confuse with our other Jatis. And there is Smriti support also. This is Shruti support. Smriti support also Acharya gives from a quotation from Shanti Parva in Mahabharata. Yata abhimaninaha atitaha tulyaha te sampratairiha devaha devaihi atitairhi rupairnabhirevacha. This is a sroka from Mahabharata Shanti Parva. Devas of current srishti are similar to that of previous srishti. That is what this mantra says. Devas of current srishti, current creation, are similar to those of the previous Srishti. That means the individual devatas are different, but they belong to devata species, which is universal and eternal. The Shastra Pramana supports the eternity of the universal. Now he gives also a Yukti Pramana, logic based, but again Shastra based only. So the Vaidikas, all the Vaidikas, they do yajnas and so many rituals to get what? To get punya, punya phalam. And through that, what they want to get? They want to get various lokas for their karma palam, swargadi lokas they want to gain. On what basis? It is based on the sukha palam that is promised by the scriptures. If you do this yajna, you will get this palam. The scriptures promise. So based on that, they do all that. And how that is created? It is created by indriya vishaya sambandhat sukha palam. The sukha palam that comes because of the indriya vishaya sambandhat. Indriya sense organs, vishaya sense objects. Because of the relation between sense objects and sense organs, the sukham they are enjoying. By the combination of indriyas and the vishaya sukham. One gets desire for more desires. So desire is the thing, it's a catalyst for its own species, more desires. So he wants to gain punyam and to enjoy the sukhams, he wants to get the punyam. And many sukham he enjoys in this janma itself, in the present srishti itself. And many in the next srishti also he wants. So it is based on sukham experience in the present srishti, which motivates him to get more sukham. So he wants the same sukham in the next srishti also. For example, suppose in the next srishti, the vishayam, they are also different. Suppose he wanted Swargaloka to see, let us say, Urvashi. And by the time he went to Swargaloka, in the next srishti, he found that Urvashi is now a donkey there. So if the punyam should produce sukham, indriyam should be similar. And all these Ramba, Urushi, all those concepts also should be similar. For Dharma Shastra to be valid, creation should be similar. So if creation becomes dissimilar, this Sukha Hetu will become Dukkha Hetu. The Karanam of Sukha, whatever gives Sukham, that will become Dukkha Hetu. For example, if I give maybe common examples, we can relate to it even better. You, for example, you go to a hotel or some place and you order a masala dosa. And having found that it tastes very well, you order another masala dosa. Keeping the taste of the present masala dosa in mind, you wanted to order another one. So keeping this present masala dosa means the vyakti masala dosa in mind. So between these two, do you think of the vyakti masala dosa or the jati masala dosa when you order the next one? The same vyakti you cannot keep in mind because it is already consumed. It is eaten. That's what you are not asking for the same masala dosa, but the one of the same jati with the hope that it will give the same sukham. But what happened? The guy who made the masala dosa earlier, he left and the change duty or whatever shift, another person he came and he prepared a totally different masala dosa. Then the Sukha Hetu becomes Dukkha Hetu. Similarly, in this Janma, we experienced many pleasures. By doing Punyam, we want to get the same pleasure. And the Lord may create another creation, but should belong to the same Jati. So the same kind of creation and not different one for the Punyam to give the same Sukham in the next creation. Therefore, jati nityatvam is supported by logic also. And he gives another logic also. Even though the individuals perish, it cannot be total destruction. They all must exist in potential form. All humans and devata species, they go back to unmanifest condition only and not total destruction. All the devatas and manushyas go into avyakta avastha. Or unmanifest form and get to Vyakta Avastha or manifest form in the next creation. Shankaracharya gives also an Anubhava Pramanam, experiential Pramanam. This is the Sushupti Anubhava that we all go through every day. In deep sleep state, the words are the words, they do not exist in deep sleep. Everything resolves. And in the next day, everything comes back into being. So shabda, artha, sambandha. So shabda, artha, sambandha continues. Shabdas continue, arthas continues. So shabda continues, artha continues. But if sambandha is not there for someone, then there will be problem. So the communication problem will create difficulty. So shabda, artha, sambandha also should be. After waking, shabda, artha and sambandha, they continue. So also in pralayam also, the cosmic sleep. Individual sleep is laya, cosmic sleep is called pralaya. In sleep, we accept everything continue because we remember it next day. When I get up next day, I say I had a great sleep. How can we show that in pralaya the whole thing continues? In sleep, daily sleep, we sleep because we exist next day morning. We remember. How about pralaya? How can we know? Because in the next srishti, I don't remember anything. And how can we say it is eternal with respect to pralaya? And Shankaracharya says, just because you don't remember that, it does not mean they are anityam. Just because one person, for example, with amnesia, does not remember the previous day, we cannot say it is non-eternal. Similarly, because you do not remember the shabda, artha, sambandha of the previous srishti, previous janma, you cannot say it is impermanent. There are extraordinary jivas who remember previous srishti. For them, pralaya is a sleep only. For them, shabda, artha, sambandhas are there nitya. And they remember in the next janma also. And there is a Veda mantra actually. Yo brahmanam vidadhati purvam, yo ve vedamsya prakrinoti tasmai, tagumha devam atma buddhi prakasham, mumukshurvai sharanamaham prapadye. Between one srishti and another srishti, humanity forgets the Veda. Whereas Brahmaji, he remembers the Veda, blessed by Bhagavan. Humans can forget. And Brahmaji sends Vedas to the humanity back again. Humanity has forgotten Veda, but Bhagavan does not forget Veda. Rishis, they can recollect Vedas belonging to the previous srishti. That is why they are called mantra drashtaraha. They are not mantra kattaraha, they are mantra drashtaraha. Same Veda existed in previous srishti also. As we recollect, for example, all the tables we all memorized when we were all in kids, school. Multiplication tables and all that. We may remember now, we were at the time of study, we were remembering. Now we are remembering also, hopefully. So also the Vedas comes back and re-emerge in the yugas, after yugas, after yugas. And at the end of the previous yuga, Vedas go to potential form, pralaya, whatever. And rishis, they recollect by performing tapas. They have extraordinary powers by their tapas. So blessed by Brahmaji, rishis recollect the shabda, the artha. And also the shabda, artha, sambandha. And pralayam is only a cosmic sleep and nothing is destroyed. Everything is in potential form. So the shabda, artha, sambandha is nityaha. Now let us do the word analysis briefly. The sutra contains many words. Samana, nama, rupatvat, cha, avrittau api, avirodaha, darshanat smritehe cha. And we have to supply another word, shabde, from sutra 28. That has to be dragged and then fitted here. So the first portion is shabde avirodaha. With respect to the validity of Vedas, there is no contradiction, avirodaha, at all. Avrittau abhi, api, avrittam vritti, avritti. Even in the next cycle of creation, avrittau api, even in the next cycle of creation, that means it is eternal. There is no contradiction. Validity of the, for the validity of Vedas. Api means also. Not only there is no contradiction with respect to the creation, but also in the next creation, there is no contradiction because shabda, artha, and shabda, artha, sambandha will continue. Like sleep for God. And what is the reason? Samana nama rupatvat. Since the objects of creation, nama, rupa of next creation, they belong to the same universal jati. Should be careful, not vyashti, but jati. Indra nama rupa, Varuna Ram nama rupa, they all continue. Individual vyakti is perishable, Indra might have gone, but not the universal. Since nama rupa belongs to the same universal. And then the next word is darshanat, as supported by Shruti Vakyam, Shruti Darshanam. Here Darshanam means Shruti Pramanam. It is equated to Shruti Pramanam because Darshanam also is an independent Pramanam. Darshanam is an independent Pramanam. And Shruti also independent Pramanam. So the word Darshanam is used to denote Shruti Pramana. Then the Rig Veda mantra and the Mahanarayana mantra, which I said earlier, that is also kept in mind. Surya Chandra Maso Dhata Yata Purum Purum Akalpayatim Divancha Prithivin Chantariksham Atosuvaha. And is supported by Smriti Pramanam also from Mahabharata, which we just read. So the final meaning of the sutra will be what? There is no contradiction with respect to the validity of Veda in the next Janma also, since the individual Nama Rupa is same as supported by Shruti and Smriti Pramana. Therefore, Indra's embodiment can be accepted. Again, we are coming to that only. Devata's body. Indra's embodiment can be accepted, and therefore Indra has got the right to study Vedas. That is what this sutra also concludes. We have a couple of more sutras to finish this adhikara. We will see them next week. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilina saya parasa maheshwaraha purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva avasishyate. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.